Okay. Oh, it's so good to be here.
Good to have you.
Let me pray real quick. Oh, Lord, you are so great. I'm just undone. Father, Spirit, Son, you are so great. Thank you so much that you love us so much, that you pour grace over us, that, oh, just for everything you are that we're discovering every day. And our whole lives are spent doing that. But then we get to be with you and to see you, which will be way beyond anything that we learned here on earth, Lord. Just thank you for that reality. Amen. All right, we are diving into the book that we've been reading by Chuck Smith, How Grace Changes Everything. And now we're in chapter 11 and 12. My favorite thing is that it's filled with God's word, because my personal feeling is it's not worth talking about if it's not.
Amen.
And just thank you, Donna, for focusing on God and his greatness. I just felt like if we just really knew that, we'd be protected from all the things that are talked about in this chapter. But we're all learning. Yeah. So in chapter 11, Chuck Smith talks about false teachers and their cunning and charming ways. In the Bible, Paul also talks about this in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. He says, "I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preached to you." So what is the good news that he was talking about? In a nutshell, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, "I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said." So what are some hallmarks of false teachers and their teachings that don't align with the good news? And you might have experienced some of these things in the past. You might have friends, relatives, acquaintances that are being drawn into things that are not according to what is in the Bible. So one of the hallmarks is that they twist the Bible text to support their own agenda, omitting or changing parts that contradict with their teachings. They deny the truthfulness and authority of Scripture, sometimes saying it's no longer reliable. In modern translations, that are true translations of the Bible. They give human traditions. I'm thinking about what Paul was writing to the Galatians. That was one of the things that they were trying to get back under traditions of the Jewish people instead of following God. Traditions, ideas, sometimes they can really sound good to us at the time, depending on where we are. Or leaders, often false teachings, there's a very prominent leader, and what that leader says is what's the truth. And that all of those have authority above the scriptures. This is a big one. They deny the deity of Christ. Jesus is not the Son of God. It's very interesting convolutions that different teachings go through of who Jesus is, but he's not the Son of God. They deny the Trinity. They try to understand it with human wisdom. You can't. You can't. They deny the nature of salvation through Christ, his atoning, all-sufficient death for us, received by faith in him alone, not Jesus plus. Jesus plus these works, these performances. And I don't know about you, but I fall into that too often, and God is bringing me out of that, of those subtle ways that you're trying to perform for God's approval. Not because you love him, he's your father who loves you. Not because Jesus, he did all of this for you. You're trying to earn salvation at some level. I think that's deep in the human heart. Our pride wants it to be that way. It's just what seems like the way it should be to us. And it's hard to accept that gift of grace, that it's totally a gift. But it's true. A lot of these false teachers emphasize special revelation as more important than God's word. So they're adding to what's in God's word. In Revelation, I didn't write down the verse, but there's a verse that says that they're cursed. They often display a lack of humility, taking the position of being more spiritual than others around them. They're followers, usually. They might be motivated by a desire for power or wealth, and they often exploit their followers. Their relationships with others are not genuine. They're self-serving to gain power or to reel in new followers, the unsuspecting. And they're often manipulating, preying on people's weaknesses. That can be really subtle. Until people are enmeshed in that and then realize it. And sometimes it's very hard to get out for different reasons. They often operate in secret, engaging in things not in line with what the Bible teaches. There's a whole lot of that goes on. They often sow discord and division in churches. They often emphasize external rules instead of a changed heart. All those regulations are put above genuine heart transformation and submission to God. Often they avoid accountability. And I'm sure all of you that have ever been involved with anything or know someone or even have read about someone that gets pulled in by that kind of thing, you could add to this list. It's really depressing. When we were just singing about the greatness of God, you know, my heart's going, well, why would I, and I do that in my performance stuff, want something other than just God and all his greatness and purity and love and everything he is? But sometimes we do, and that's why all the warnings are there in the Bible. And as I was preparing for this study, I watched a few videos on YouTube about people that had come out of cults. A recurring theme just kind of caught my attention, that many of them were told by that cult that the leader or the group or that organization was the ultimate, highest source of truth. And if you're in a place of believing that, you're in big trouble. It's God's word. God's word says in Acts 4:11-12, for Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures when it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is it. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. No other name. That's pretty straightforward. And Jesus himself told his disciple Thomas, then, you know, Thomas was puzzled. He said, show us the way. And so what Jesus said to him was, you all know this one, I am the way, the truth, yes, the life. No one with a special revelation, no one that is charismatic, no one that has hundreds and millions following them, no one can come to the Father except through me. So what are some results of following false teaching, false teachers? If it's works-oriented, which many, 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 many of them are, it's relying on our own performance. So we have no assurance of salvation, because you're always hoping that you're good enough and you're doing good enough. And then something happens and you see that you're not good enough, and then you try to be better. So that's what you're relying on, instead of relying on Christ and his finished work. His finished work. It's done. It's not our performance. So another result can be that our growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's in Peter 3:18, it's stunted or it's warped or it ceases altogether. And that's tragic. That affects our lives. It affects everyone that we're in relationship with. It's just tragic. It's reversible, though, through God's grace, which is wonderful. I was telling Diane Kasten about a book I'm reading by a lady that she was a very dedicated Mormon. She was actually a tenured professor at BYU, and her husband was up there, and just about their journey coming out of Mormonism. So God's working everywhere, even in this kind of stuff that's terrible. Another thing that happens is we might lead others astray as well. You know, our kids, that was one regret that Mormon lady had, and her husband, was they had taught their kids all this growing up. So another thing that happens is that lies we believe affect us physically, emotionally, spiritually, and in our relationship with others. It affects everything. And one that I've seen happen in people that I knew was if they've been in that kind of a situation and they've been manipulated by someone claiming to have God's message, that they don't want anything to do with God. But God's grace can reach into that too. I've seen people for that, and I'm praying for people that I know. But all of those things are negative things, and I'm sure all of you could come up with other ones too. So how do we protect ourselves from that? Let's be like the people in Berea in Acts 17:11. They searched the scriptures day by day, day after day, to see if Paul and Silas were telling them the good news, were telling the truth. So dig into the word. Just however that looks in your day and your life right now, it's just got to be a priority. It's so important. And as it says in James 1:5, if you need wisdom, I love this verse, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So as we grow in our understanding of the scripture and our relationship with Christ, we will no longer be immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every word of new teaching. That's new in quotes, because nothing is new under the sun. And we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. That's Ephesians 4, verse 14. And it's just, I was thinking as we were singing about praising him is such a safeguard too. And just thanking him and praising him and thanking him and praising him for who he is and finding out more of who he is in the scriptures and through him working in lives around us that we can see the evidence of changed lives, the real life going on. So in closing, as Pastor Chuck Smith wrote at the end of chapter 12, may we realize the incredible depth of blessing and freedom that God has so richly granted us. And may we experience these blessings daily as we walk in God's beautiful love, standing fast in his glorious grace. Now,
Are you giving us a pen? Thank you.
in 5 minutes, I would love to have you all write down everything that comes to mind of the way God's grace has been. You've seen it lately, it's been showered on you. It can be things in the past, it can be things yesterday, this morning. Just start writing. Thank you.